For all the dads, happy Father's Day to us. Yay. Yay, dads. Woo! I'm sure everybody got really nice breakfast in bed and all that stuff this morning, right? Yeah. I asked my daughter, she was still sleeping. I stuck my head out. I'm like, okay, so where should I look for it? She's like, what? I'm like, my breakfast in bed. Did you hide it? This is a surprise, right? She's like, shut up, Dad. Oh, well. Why don't we pray and then we'll jump in. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. God, as a dad, I thank you for the privilege that it is to get to be a father. And in so doing, God, just get a little peek, a sliver of a peek at how you feel about us. Clearly the challenges that you must face leading us. So we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time here together this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, as we share with one another, as we talk about important things related to our marriages. God, we ask that you would bless the time, that it would be honoring to you and edifying to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're still on our summer. See if this thing's going to work today. Yay! Our Lessons from Marriage series. So just kind of to remind us, because we've been sort of hit or miss the last few weeks. By the way, the Dad and Kids Camp Out, how many people went? How many guys went? I was there. It was awesome. I don't know about you guys, but I've been to the last three recent ones, because I've been sort of helping lead the last three, and this was the best one of the three by far. Weather-wise and everything else, it was a blessing. So we are in Lessons for Marriage, which are, again, shorter messages, right? I'm trying to keep it concise and give everybody lots of time to talk. So these are really just messages that are supposed to sort of provoke good conversation around your table. So today, yeah, there we go. I hit it twice. Hopefully it's not going to advance. There we go. So today, this is our title, True North, Knowing Your Values and Living Towards Them in Marriage. I'm going to have a handout here that I'm going to hand out. Actually, someone's going to help me hand them out. I'm going to hand out a handout. And there we go. Thanks, guys. So, True North, knowing your values and living toward them in marriage. And I'm going to talk in a second here about why core values are important. We'll kind of go through that and whether that's a biblical concept or not a biblical concept. And then we're going to talk about, okay, so how can we begin to engage in a conversation to come up with what those core values in our particular marriage might be? And so when I talk about core values, this is very different from sort of a strategic plan, right? It's very hard when you say, oh, we're going to get married, what's our strategic, a strategic plan for marriage is a little bit difficult because we don't know what's coming next, right? So the difference between sort of a strategic plan and what I'll call core values, or you can use the word principles, or you can, you know, use the term guiding lights. These are things that don't change. These are things that are set and that aren't going to change. We're going to be able to make strategic decisions based on these principles, and strategic decisions will change over time, based on context and circumstances and all those sorts of things, whereas principles don't. Principles are constant. So that's sort of the difference. So the first thing, what we're going to talk about is why is this even important? Why do we want to talk about this in marriage? Our marriage is not a business after all, right? James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why do I connect that verse to this? Because, again, there is an aspect of the Christian life, we call it a walk for a reason. A walk is an active thing. We're walking in the Spirit, we're walking with Christ, we're abiding in Christ. Those are all verbs, those are all action words. And the idea is that we are in our marriages, we are to be living out something, some action. Why is this having, if we're going to be doers of the word, not merely hearers, and if we're going to be walking with Christ, if we're going to be living out our faith, why would principles in that be important? And I'm not advancing it. There we go. Why are they important? So the first thing we're going to talk about There we go. Is they provide a true north, right? So again, like with a compass, if you're going in a direction, when you walk out of your house, for example, you don't, you know, I'm going to go to work. I have a specific direction that I'm going to be going in. I know where that is, and I'm going to continue to walk in that direction. It's something to guide you in all of the decisions that you make. So as you're going on a path, whether that's to work or to church or wherever, you make certain turns, and you know there might be traffic in this area, so you might make you might get diverted around it. But in the end, you know where you're going. And so having a true north, or setting the direction for your journey in marriage from the beginning, is critical, right? Because how are you going to get there if you don't know where there is? You're just sort of walking aimlessly along a path, knowing what you're aiming for as you go out. So having a true north, and that's just something that, let's go to the next one. Having a true north, and these things are all sort of tied together with each other. So first of all, like I said, knowing where you're going, having a direction, having a true north that you can always go back to, that's your guide. You know, you might deviate to one side or the other for a detour, but you know where you're going in the end. You know what the ultimate objective is. The second thing is a filter. If you have a set of core principles or guiding lights or values, you can use those on a day-to-day basis in the mundane things and even in the bigger decisions to decide which direction you're going to go. What decisions are you going to make? These are like decisions about your finances, decisions about where you're going to live, decisions about your leisure time, your priorities, all of those sorts of things can be filtered through this set of core values or principles or guiding lights in order to make those decisions on a consistent basis. Otherwise, right, every decision that you face, you're coming up with a whole new set of criteria by which to evaluate that decision. Whereas if you can pass that decision through a set of core values, it'll guide sort of the direction that you're going. Like I said in the beginning, you know, strategy will change, tactics will change, all of those kinds of things can fluctuate with changing circumstances, changing life stage, whether you have kids or you don't have kids, whether you live in Northern Virginia or someplace else, all of those things can adjust. But if those principles are constant over time, then all of those decisions that you make get to get passed through those. So you have a filter. The last thing is, there you go, you have a mirror and a telescope. Let me explain what the mirror and the telescope is. The mirror is a way to evaluate yourself, a way to evaluate your marriage. So when you sit down together over, you know, on your date night or whatever, and you have those conversations about how are we doing? How are we doing in our marriage? How is our family? And just to have that kind of a conversation without having anything to hold up as as your goal, your objective, the ideal, what are you evaluating yourself against? So having a core set of values, no matter what those are, is a way for you to be able to evaluate your marriage. The other thing is to encourage you, right? You know, when you run, I don't know how many of you guys are runners, one of the things that you don't look at your feet when you run, right? You pick your head up. And you're supposed to look, especially as you get close to the finish line, the idea is to look out at where you're going at the finish line. Part of that is encouragement, right? It's always getting closer. You're moving in that direction. You can encourage yourself in the day-to-day. Like we have sort of several different sort of core value statements, and we hang them on the walls in our house. And every day there's one that hangs over our doorstep. At the landing of the stairs going up to the bedrooms. So every day, several times a day, as I come down or I go up, I'm seeing that right in front of my face. I'm seeing that statement. And I look at it every single time. And it encourages me to continue to live in the direction of those things. So we have three things. Having a true north, having some direction for your marriage, a guiding light, right, a direction to live in. We have a filter, right, through which to pass daily decisions. Again, finances, leisure time, parenting decisions, all those sorts of things can get passed through that filter. And then finally, a way to evaluate ourselves and encourage. So evaluation and encouragement are the last two things. So the question then becomes this, you know, because we talk about vision statements, core values, all those sorts of things in a business context. So the question is this biblical? Is it a biblical thing to do to have a core value statement or a core values for your marriage? I would say yes. And I'm going to lay out my argument for you here, and you guys can evaluate it, discuss it at your tables, whether or not you think I'm on. The first thing is, first verse that jumps out to me is this one, John 13, 34 through 35, particularly 35. Jesus says, "By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." If you look particularly at the book of John, clearly the ultimate value, the ultimate core value that Christ teaches is love, right? And think back through the reasons why core values are important. It's a true north, right? It's a filter, and it's an evaluator and an encourager. Those three things. If you look at that statement and you said, okay, this is Jesus' core value statement for his disciples. You'll know me by, they'll know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. That fits into all three of those, right? It's a true north to guide your decision making. It's a filter through which to pass daily decisions. Is this the loving thing to do or not? Right? And it's an evaluator and an encourager to continue to live in that direction. So I would say Jesus gives us a core value statement there. If you look at Matthew 5, the first 16 verses at least, is the Sermon on the Mount. Clearly, a elongated value statement or a core principle guiding light statement for living in the kingdom. All of the blessed, right? All of the Beatitudes that are given there, blessed are the pure in heart. Right? Blessed are the meek. All of those are values that Jesus is laying out for the people that live in his kingdom. Again, they fall into the three things. It's a true north. It's a filter that you can pass your daily decisions about life through. And it's an encourager and an evaluator of where you are. You go to Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You just go through those. Boy, those are a bunch of core values that fit into all three of those categories as well. Romans 14:17, right? The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Three more values. So values of the kingdom. This one gets a little bit more strategic. So this one may not be so much a value statement as it probably a mission statement that these values flow out. But if you take the combination of Mark chapter 12 verses 30 and 31, and put that together with Matthew 28:19, you've got sort of the threefold mission statement of every follower of Jesus. Love God, love your neighbor, make disciples. Right? So we have a vision, we have a mission statement, and we've got core value statements. So I think the Bible, you know, Scripture is full of this. So when I look at, you know, is this something that makes sense for me to talk about and develop as a family? Yes. We have it already. I mean, if you were just to even take what I just, those passages I read here, you could come up with your own core value statement as a follower of Jesus. But I think it's important to drill down as a couple, as a family, because God has wired each of us differently, each of us individually differently. And then he, in his sovereignty, put you together with your spouse, two very different people with very different wiring and very different baggage and family history and all those kinds of things. He put you two together in order to express his core values in a special way, in a unique way for you. So I think it is important to be able to drill down and say, okay, what is going to be our statement as a couple? What is going to be our statement as a family? So if that's true, if it's important, if it's valuable, and it's biblical, then how do you do it? And that's where we're going to get into our activity. So how do you create a value statement? I have on your handout, we can go one more. Yeah, on your handout there's seven, but all seven wouldn't fit on this screen, so I combined them, and we made four. So don't get confused. There's seven on your paper, but four up here, they're all there. So the first thing is really asking for God's direction and keeping it simple, right? Not straying from Scripture. So you pray, you ask for God's direction, you look at the Scriptures. What jumps out at you about God's, about the values that God is expressing in his word? and make sure you keep it simple. You know, like they say, mission statements and core value statements that are really, really long that nobody can remember aren't really very helpful. You know, you could pick up your Bible and say, here it is, there's our core value statement. Okay, memorize that whole thing. Go for it. That would be impressive. Think about God's purpose for your marriage, both generally, but your marriage. Like, how has God uniquely created your marriage? Obviously, we know that God's created all of our, or has ordained all of our marriages to reflect the mystery of Christ in the church, right? To bring him glory by reflecting the mystery of Christ in the church. That's generally. But specifically, how has God ordained your particular marriage to express that in a unique way? So think through that. Then you got to brainstorm. Brainstorm some core values that you share as a couple. And I just put some examples up there. Faith, prayer, hospitality, peace, service. Then kind of drill down and find 3 to 5 or so that you can both agree that stand out. And maybe it's helpful if there's like ones that you say, okay, well, these other ones kind of flow out of that one, so I can just put this one, and that'll cover some of these other ones. But pick out the ones that you really feel that jump out at the two of you. Attach some scripture to them, right? Because we want to make sure that we're grounded in the Word. We don't want to come up with some values that are not scriptural. That would be counterproductive. Attach scripture passages. And then finally, and this is optional, but I think it can be helpful in a lot of instances, is develop a short phrase to attach to each of them. So for instance, if you both decided, yeah, hospitality is clearly a value from Scripture. It's clearly the way that God has wired us together as a couple, that this is something that's really important to us and is a core value to us. You know, you might use a statement like that. Our home will be joyfully open to those the Lord brings our way, or something along those lines. Okay? So those are the steps that I'm suggesting that you go through. There may be some other steps that I'm missing. And you guys can talk about those at your table. So what I want to do at our tables is maybe get this process started together, and also just talk about what we talked about here this morning. Do you agree with what I'm saying about it being biblical and about it being important? And Patricia reminded me of something this morning. Don't feel like, oh my gosh, we've been married 25, 30 years. We've never done this, right? It's too late for us. Well, we had never done anything like this before until, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago? Something like that. And it all started with us just asking a question of our kids. I said to the kids, you know, when you think about our family, what are the things, what are the words that come to your mind? What are the things, and it was part of a number of other questions. One of those questions was, what could we have done differently as parents? And that was a scary one. Yeah, because it's too late. You can't change it now, but I wanted to know. And fortunately, the only real response we got back was that we didn't get enough ice cream. So we could have bought more ice cream. And from that time forward, Patricia has made sure that there's ice cream in our freezer all the time. Lots and lots of ice cream. So, you know, the interesting thing was when we, and maybe this is another step, especially if you've been married for quite a while, is to think about when other people that we know comment on us, on our home, on our marriage, what are the kinds of things that they say? Right? Is it, you know, sometimes it'll be good things, sometimes it might not be good things, but either way, that's valuable. And then they ask yourself the follow-up questions, what would we like for them to say? You know, if someone came, if I were to come and visit your home, I was visiting from out of town and I stayed with you for a week, what impression would you want me to go away with? So I'm not just coming over for dinner, but I'm in your house. We're sharing breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. I'm seeing how you interact with your spouse, how you interact with your kids. I'm hanging out with you, right? Over a long enough period of time that any charade that you could possibly hold on to would not hold out for that long, right? You couldn't be able to fake it that long. What would you want that impression to be? What would it be, and what would you want it to be is a good question too. So we're going to take some time, and we're going to do that. We got a lot of time. This is good, because this one is kind of involved. I'm going to pray for us, and Oh, let me say one more thing before we go. Actually, this is encouraging, and I'll come back. I'll put these back up, even though you have them. Can I go one more forward? Yay! I love newborn pictures. Look at the size of that hand. It's so crazy. Anyway, they said they'll be back next Sunday. So, yeah, that's it. Good luck with that. That's what they said. That's what they said. Very sweet. All right, so we're going to go back to our questions. Oops, I went the wrong way. There we go. All right, let me pray, and then we'll jump into it. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you didn't leave us without without some guiding lights. God, that you have specific values that you want to build into us. God, we thank you that you are doing that work. God, that it's not our striving or our willpower or even our desire in our flesh to live a certain way, but the fact that the Spirit of Christ lives in us and is working in us and through us to transform us in ever-increasing glory into that same image. God, we are so thankful for that. God, we stand on your promise that you, who began a good work in each of us, will carry it on to completion. We thank you for our salvation, and we thank you for the grace to live this Christian life, to walk in the Spirit, that we may not satisfy the desires of the flesh, to live in the direction of your values, God, knowing that when we fail, and we will, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And you are a good God. You are a good, good Father, as we like to sing. And we are so thankful, Father. We ask that you would give us good conversation now, Lord, that we would be able to be transparent with one another, to be open and honest with one another, to share from our hearts, and God, that this would be a time of building up and not tearing down, a time of encouragement in your word and in the fellowship that we have because of the fellowship we have with you through Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.